Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters when we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, Bill Belichick opens the door for coaching into his 70s, something that he had once said he would never do. We'll discuss just how long Bill might be coaching for. Also tomorrow, programming note, is our annual spooktacular episode of the DA Show, where Katie Lindendahl, the Gidget of Gadgets, will be in here with us. And she always takes her costumes for Halloween to the nines. So it's always fun to have her in studio. We will all be dressing up as well. Make sure you are watching tomorrow at watchda.com or making sure that you see the video clips on our YouTube page. Just go to CBS Sports Radio and you'll find all the best of clips of the DA Show on YouTube as well. Florida, Georgia coming up this weekend. Not a great weekend of college football matchups, but the world's largest outdoor cocktail party is coming up on Saturday, 3:30 Eastern kick on CBS. And these are two top 10 teams. Now, Georgia suffered a brutal loss a couple of weeks ago to unranked South Carolina, and since has completely slipped out of the college football playoff discussion. But not all is lost. When we are talking about the college football playoff, any team that loses to South Carolina at home is one that we usually don't take seriously. But the path is still open for the Bulldogs. I'm not sure Florida can get to the college football playoff. I'm not sure. And that's even if they win the college football, even if they win the SEC, and here's why. Ultimately, you have to remember that the college football playoff committee is not there for fairness. It's an unfortunate truth because one of the things we love about sports is it's supposed to be ultimately fair. It is why we all bang the drum so hard for competitive balance, for even playing fields, because the idea, the specter of sport with one side being tilted is a lot less interesting. But the College Football Playoff Committee is not there for fairness. The College Football Playoff Committee wouldn't exist if this was the fairest system. The fairest system would probably be computer rankings. Would probably be some type of crazy algorithm where you are weighing strength of schedule and conference wins and losses to bad teams, bad losses, good wins, home field advantage. You'd probably have some type of really advanced analytic, which we use in all types of sports, but not to decide the four best teams in college football. The four best teams in college football are decided by a committee that are there to create three TV shows. It is the truth. The playoff committee is there to look like they're being fair, but ultimately to correct any computer error, to correct any possible error We want to put in what they would say the four most deserving teams are, but ultimately, it's for three TV shows. Two semifinals and a final. And because of that, usually the SEC champ is going to get in because the SEC has this might, has this reputation, is seen as the power conference in college football. And if you win it, look, they don't want to keep you out of it. And there's going to be a lot of eyeballs as well. And if Florida wins the SEC championship, if Florida beats Georgia this weekend, it ends up in an SEC championship game against Bama or LSU and gets a win there, it'd be kind of impossible to keep out a one-loss Florida team, right? Pretty impossible. But it's not a guarantee because Florida plays a defensive-heavy style and they don't have the star quarterback and the pizzazz and the big offensive weapons that make for really interesting TV shows. Georgia does. Georgia's got the rocket-armed quarterback that'll get drafted high. Georgia has also the experience of having played in the college football playoff and performing well in it and nearly beating Alabama for a national championship game. And Georgia's got the pedigree that those people in that room look for. And so if Georgia wins the SEC title, they would be going. And I think the committee would say they beat Notre Dame, they beat Florida, they would have beaten Auburn, and then the SEC title game, West Division champ, which will probably be either Bama or LSU. If you have those, and those are all potential top 15 wins, might be all top 10 wins, because when they beat Notre Dame was 7. They'll play number 6 Florida this week. They'll play Auburn in 2 weeks. Right now they're ranked 11. And then whatever LSU or Auburn will be, or Alabama rather, that's 4 really quality wins. And even with a really bad loss to South Carolina, I think the committee would have to put Georgia in. And I think they would. Look, that'll be the worst loss out of any of the one-loss teams more than likely. Losing at home to South Carolina, but I mean, at least Oklahoma lost on the road this week in a K-State. But then you start talking about these one-loss teams, and there's got to be a tiebreaker here or there. Playing in the SEC usually is. And so the crazy thing is this weekend is certainly an elimination game for the college football playoff. Certainly. The loser of this cannot get there. But the winner of it, the path is actually still open for them. Specifically Georgia. Now, I don't know if you could trust Georgia to beat Auburn and the SEC title game after losing at home to South Carolina, but if they do so, I think they make the playoff. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. What was the most predictable thing to happen going into Sunday? The Cleveland Browns looking outclassed on the road against the Patriots. What was the most predictable thing coming out of that loss? Odell Beckham would be frustrated and say something about it. Beckham was critical of his coaching staff after the game, saying they didn't challenge Stephon Gilmore as well as he wanted to, that they, quote, shied away from Gilmore. Quote, we had a couple of plays, but for whatever reason, we didn't do as much challenging as we talked about. Other than that, whatever came my way, pretty much I caught. Whatever opportunities I had, I made the most of them. You can only control what you can control. End of quote. Giants fans are laughing because they heard that many times over. I mean, that is right out of the Odell playbook. You can only control what you can control. Whatever was thrown my way, I caught. Whatever opportunities I had, I made the most of. Even though in this game, he had 5 catches for 52 yards, and the Browns' offense was pretty bad the entire day. I mean, Odell has clearly not brought what the Browns thought he was going to bring when they traded for him. He's got less than 500 yards on the season, and the Browns are 2-5. This is the most predictable Odell. Big stage, big moment, Nance and Romo there, and the Browns look bad, and the season's nearly lost. And what does he say? I did what I could. I caught what they threw me. I can only do so much. Pass the buck. Push the blame. It is what Odell does. And in doing so, cast aspersions on your coaching staff and your quarterback. Hey, look, I think Freddie Kitchens is a disaster. Don't get me wrong. But this is so purely Odell Beckham that you knew it was going to come. And here's Kitchens. Odell had 7 balls thrown to him. He caught 5 of them. I'm not responding to that. We need to win a football game. That's what I'm worried about. Odell saying, it's not my fault we're losing. And why aren't we targeting Stephon Gilmore more? The coaches are off. And the coach is saying, we threw Odell the damn ball. What could have been more predictable? Was there anything that could have been more predictable than this ending? Now Freddie Kitchens is upset because he's under fire. His offense looks awful. His quarterback's a mess. His offensive line's terrible. And his star wide receiver is saying, why aren't we throwing me the ball more? You said you're going to throw me the ball more. I can only do so much. And now the coach is frustrated. I mean, Browns, careful what you wish for. Buyer beware. We could have all seen this coming a million miles away. And this is, again, why it was so dumb to make Freddie Kitchens your coach and so dumb to predict this team was going to the Super Bowl or going deep into the AFC playoffs or winning the division. It was so dumb because it was so volatile and so combustible and such a house of cards. I mean, Mraz, like clockwork. Browns lose big game, national TV. Odell pushes the buck, and the coach says, we threw him the damn ball. He needs to shut up. Essentially what happened, pure playbook right there.
What's the most shocking part of this?
A news,
is that there were legitimately people calling this show, calling CBS Sports Radio, even some experts that wrote about it, that didn't think this would happen, that thought the Browns would be great, that thought Freddie Kitchens would handle all the locker room problems, that thought Baker Mayfield would be the perfect blend with Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham, when all you had to do was think of NFL history, look at the personalities currently involved, and you knew the Browns were probably going to be a disaster, and at some point it was going to lead to Odell Beckham Jr. unhappy. And here we are 7 weeks in, and that's exactly what's happened. How could you not see this coming?
I mean, Odell being unhappy, I wish we had a futures bet on that. I wish that Vegas would have taken a bet on Odell end season unhappy in Cleveland.
Who thought the Browns were going to be that good? Where are these people now? How could you think that this blend, just like that, a 7-win team was going to become an 11-win team and everything they did in the offseason? When does that ever happen in the NFL, let alone to the freaking Cleveland Browns?
And Odell. I mean, look, Odell is a great talent, but this is just so par for the course for Odell. You knew he was going to start griping about his touches.
This is me on a Sunday throwing a bunch of stuff in a crock pot and hope I come out with a good football food of the week. Sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Odell being upset about his touches and pushing the buck, is he going to be on the Browns in 2020?
I think he is, but it's because I don't think Freddie Kitchens will be on the Browns in 2020.
One of these guys goes.
Oh, there's no way we just roll out the same crew next year. No chance. Something's getting shaken up.
So Kitchens probably gets the zig. Odell probably stays.
Correct. And then it'll fail in 2 years with that. Browns, who knows? Maybe Baker Mayfield sinks because of that, and they're drafting another quarterback in a couple years. Who knows what happens?
It's always, by the way, somebody else's fault besides Odell. It's always Eli's fault or McAdoo's fault or the offensive line's fault or the Giants' fault or Shermer's fault or Freddie Kitchens' fault or the coaching staff's fault in Cleveland.
Yeah, and I can only imagine Lil Wayne's just been too busy for there to be a sit-down at ESPN to talk about being unhappy with Baker Mayfield now.
When we come back here on the show, the best audio of the day, and that includes Nick Saban doing his interview from an IHOP kitchen. Also, Bill Belichick on how long he could coach for. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
You're listening to the DA Show. Boom shakalaka.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Coming up, an NFL on CBS doubleheader. The Colts will try to silence the Steelers in Pittsburgh this Sunday, where Tennessee clashes with Carolina, followed by Rodgers. The Packers headed out west to battle the Chargers. It all begins with JB and the guys of the NFL Today. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. The DA Show on your airwaves every single morning, 9 until noon Eastern time, 6 until 9 Pacific. Tomorrow will be our Halloween spooktacular episode. Katie Lindendahl, the Gidget of Gadgets, will be in studio with us, so make sure you are locked in tomorrow, especially watching the proceedings at watchda.com to check out all of the costumes. On a Trash Tuesday, Alex tweets, I'm trashing Joe Buck. He's been the voice of the World Series for 20 straight years, and by now we're all done with him. Fox should get somebody new like Joe Davis who will bring in a new audience and get rid of the old man Buck. Joe Buck, time to hit the road. Trash him.
Illegal dumping.
Two things. Number one, one of my good friends texted me and was like, when's the World Series? And I'm like, I think it's 8:05, whatever that start time was. He tunes in and goes, oh, Buck's on the call? I'm out. I go, dude, Buck's been on the call for 20 straight years. I'm like, where have you been? Number two, I think Joe Buck calls an incredible baseball game. I think he's gotten much better at toning down smarminess. I think he's gotten much better, no longer needing to be the smartest guy in the room. I think Buck, at this point in his career, is absolutely phenomenal on big games and captures October drama exquisitely. And I didn't always think that. I thought Buck got that job very clearly because of his old man, and was swimming out of his depth for a number of years, and he was under major scrutiny, and he didn't handle it well, and I think he was trying to prove himself constantly, and it came off that way. Today, he's so natural in calling these games that I think when we don't have Buck calling October baseball, you're going to miss him big time. And, you know, no offense to some of the other guys. I think Brian Anderson does a really good job on radio. Dan Shulman is excellent. But some of the other TV guys we got calling big baseball games just are not up to it. And, Mraz, I know you've been a big Buck supporter for a long time. His October baseball is excellent.
I totally agree. So much so that in the ALCS, when he had to dip out for Chargers... and Broncos on that Thursday night game, or Chargers-Chiefs, was that the game?
I don't know.
Broncos, so it was somebody in the AFC West. They left Joe Davis to call one game in the ALCS when Buck had called all the other games. And to me, I was kind of devastated when it came on. It's nothing against Joe Davis, but Buck feels like a big game now. And I know this maybe for somebody who's 60 or something like that, they have their big game guys. I look at the generation now of somebody who's 32 years old, Buck is my big game guy. And I am amped to sit in front of a TV when I see Buck slide in there and it's a baseball or a football game. I'm into it.
Look, Joe Buck has called the World Series for 20 straight years.
Correct.
So that's 20 years that he has had the biggest baseball call of the year. He's now ingrained. He is now part of baseball lore and Americana and these big moments. He's synonymous with it, and he's gotten so much better. I would say the last 3 years, he's gone to a 10. Before that, he was probably at a 9. I would say early in his career, it might have been a 6 or a 7. Today, he is nearly flawless calling these games. Nearly. And football, he's excellent as well. But I just think he goes to a totally different level in these October baseball games.
Yeah, and I, again, if you don't like a Joe Buck call, to me, I think maybe you're paying attention to the wrong part. I think there are maybe some analysts and stuff like that that sometimes when Buck is paired with, I think can kind of shag down a call. But his play-by-play and his voice, I think, is perfect.
Well, Buck suffered from people having an idea of him 15 years ago and not being able to shake it. But Joe Buck gets out of the way of calls, but also delivers when there's a huge hit or a huge moment or a huge play with perfect excitement. He just captures it. and he just doesn't do too much. And I think maybe he used to do too much. He does now. He's perfect. And Bilotti, I see you nodding your head. You're a big Joe Buck in October guy.
Oh yeah, and I think John Smoltz helps establish that too as well. I think he's his best color commentator with him. I liked Tim McCarver, but I didn't like him with Joe Buck. I like Tim McCarver, you know, doing his own thing. But Joe Buck, to me, he's big game. Whenever you think of a big game, it's Joe Buck.
And he's at the point in his career where he's mastered it. He's crushing big games. Kate tweets, I'm trashing people who buy pumpkin spice scented everything, like flipping orange toilet paper so that their butts smell like autumn. Hashtag little wet, little spicy.
I smell rotten eggs.
Hashtag bumpkin spice. John tweets, I'm trashing fatter than me diet advice guy. As I'm sitting here eating lunch, I don't need you slamming a cheeseburger giving me weight loss advice. Hashtag get him out.
Overflowing landfill.
Falco tweets, DA, this is Falco Jr., not my real name. I'm trashing my big sister for stepping on my toe. It really hurt.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Well, thanks for sharing. Also, Falco, I don't care if it's your real name or not. I'm just rolling with whatever your Twitter profile says, okay? I don't need birth certificates on this thing. Time for your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
They take their Waffle House seriously in the South. That's why Nick Saban did his press conference from a Waffle House kitchen.
Just have to see what he can do and evaluate, you know, his mobility and his performance. And, you know, that can't really predict any of those things. Just kind of let it happen and see how it goes. And I think Wednesday will probably be the first day he's back out on the field. He's, you know, been on the Ultra G now and progressing well on that, which is usually the protocol for how we bring players back that have, you know, lower extremity type injuries.
Definitely some glass clinking there, maybe some silverware clinking. Maybe that was at a dinner or some type of luncheon, perhaps.
Maybe Bilotti is saying it was a dinner.
Dinner?
Type of luncheon, dinner type thing.
Okay, so there was a meal being served around.
But you realize people eat so loudly when you're at a restaurant.
I think they're cleaning up around him. Sounded like cleanup.
Can we get him to a quieter area if he's going to speak?
Bruce Arians signed every NBA coach ever. Bruce Arians says refs are not being held accountable.
Everybody except one guy saw the ball out and blew a quick whistle. And my biggest thing is, you know, referees aren't held accountable. Coaches get fired, general managers get fired, players get cut. Referees aren't accountable. And it's a shame. It's been that way for 40 years, and now that we got a new agreement, it'll be that way for 40 more years.
So I think they are held accountable. Aren't they graded on every single game, and the best grades get to go to the playoffs, and the worst grades don't? And the worst grades keep getting dropped down lower and lower in the pecking order of big games, ultimately, to where they could replace you. I think Arians is off here. They did screw him and the Buccaneers on blowing the whistle early in that game. But to act like there's no repercussions for refs is stupid. Number two, I mean, you know, you're 2-5. Stop complaining about the refs. And that's just like the oldest, stupidest gripe in the book. That play, yes, bad. They got screwed. But you're a bad football team. Your quarterback's bad. Your defense is bad. Your offensive line's bad. And, you know, this is the first sign of, I like Arian that he's opinionated, but it also is the first sign of, like, an old guy that just gripes about everything. Hey, sir, officials are not held accountable. Hey, it's too hot out here. I'm tired. When are we getting our meal? And finally, here's Bill Belichick speaking about being an old man. Once upon a time, he said he's not going to coach into his 70s like Marv Levy did. That was a direct quote. He's now 67, and the guys on WEEI asked him about that.
When I said it, I didn't know what 70 felt like, so not really sure if that's an accurate statement today or not. I don't really know. At the time, I didn't feel that way. Now that I'm closer to that age, I don't know.
Dum dum dum. Yeah, Belichick ain't walking away anytime soon. Because if this is the final season in New England for Tom Brady, Belichick ain't wrapping it up after this season. He's winning too much. He's now at 300 wins. And he's not going to want to let Brady walk out the door and win somewhere else, perhaps, and him not win in New England. He wants to prove that it wasn't just Tom Brady. And I think that Belichick's greatness is obvious, considering he went 11-5 with freaking Matt Castle and could win football games with Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo as well. But I think Belichick wants to make that abundantly clear when he retires. His success wasn't attached solely to Tom Brady. And I also think that he is sniffing around Don Shula's record, which would probably be about four seasons away after this. And that would put him at 71. And I think being the all-time leading winner in NFL history, surpassing George Halas and Don Shula, if they end up going, 14-2 this year or 15-1, and then next year, the next 4 years, averaging 12 wins a season, 11 wins a season, gets him another 4 years, and you might be there. I think that's what we're looking at. I think now Belichick is on that type of road to go get Don Shula's record. And that is your sound check. When we come back, more of your Trash Tuesdays. And we've got your epic fail as we broke down, analyzed, and dissected the banned flashers for the World Series. It's all coming up straight ahead. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Yeah, I'll be here all day, big boy. Come on, bring it.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. GEICO.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. MLS fans, we've got our semifinals coming up tonight. Conference finals begin with the Western Conference Finals. The LAFC number one seed against the Seattle Sounders coming up tonight. And then tomorrow is the Eastern Conference Final. And I will be breaking down both of those as part of Match DA. Some bonus content we're doing on Facebook and on Twitter and on YouTube for the MLS playoffs. We realize this is a very crazy time of year in terms of breaking down everything on the show, football-wise specifically, but also the World Series going on. So you've got the NFL, college football, the World Series, the NBA beginning. So to make sure we serve that MLS audience that is totally into this really cool postseason, because this is the first year they've gone to the one-and-done, single-elimination format for all rounds, it's been wild, woolly, wacky, fun, especially the Galaxy LAFC rivalry game last week. And we'll continue breaking those things down. So if you're an MLS fan, I've already done a number of the episodes, four of the episodes of the first couple of rounds, which you can find on YouTube right now and our social media pages, including Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. On the old Twitter machine, Alex tweets, the one thing that makes Joe Buck hated, especially in LA, is his bias against the Dodgers. He gives hope to either Houston in the 17 World Series, Milwaukee in the 18 NLCS, or the Red Sox in the 18 World Series. He calls it to favorite others and trashes the Dodgers. I have to tell you that Alex, he does not hate the Dodgers. Joe Buck doesn't hate any of your teams. No national broadcasters hate your teams. Every fan base thinks the announcer doesn't like their teams because they are used to, everyone's used to, their local announcers, which basically openly root for the teams. And so when it comes to a national broadcast, oh, that guy must hate my team. He doesn't. If you're going to blame Joe Buck for quote-unquote rooting for the Astros in 17 or calling it for the Red Sox in 18, those teams won the World Series that year. The Dodgers didn't. So they probably had more exciting moments. Broadcasters don't root against your teams. Broadcasters root for exciting games, which is why late in blowouts, announcers keep making excuses that You'll want to stick around. Who knows? This game's far from over. How many times will you hear over the course of an NFL season an analyst say, there's plenty of time left? Oh, there's plenty of time left. You know, there's a lot of time left. There's a lot of time left. Every week in every game, no matter how deep in the hole one team is, an announcer is guaranteed to say, well, there's plenty of time left. Because they are trained to keep you around. That's the only thing broadcasters care about, is keeping you around. It's the smallest team. It's the least liked team. It's the biggest market team. It doesn't matter to them. It only matters that you stick around. They're not anti your team. Scott tweets, what up, DA? Can I get a beam up? I'm trashing the refs in the Bucks versus Titans game on Sunday. The Titans punter clearly fumbled the ball before his knee was down, and the ref blew the whistle prematurely. That cost the Bucks the win.
Ooh, that garbage bag is leaking.
Agreed, bad moment for the refs. That's a blown call. Chuck tweets, I'm trashing Bruce Arians for going Ralph Cramden on the refs during the game versus my beloved Titans on Sunday.
Warning, hazardous material.
Steve tweets, I'm trashing the people who steal Lime scooters. There's a freaking alarm sounding when you're scooting around without paying. We all know you stole it. Hashtag, come on, man.
That's a dumpster dive.
Is that technically what that is? The Silver Fox tweets, I watched a video of a woman in obvious distress at a gas pump. Fuel was flying out of the nozzle. She was terrified because the valve was obviously stuck wide open. Everyone who reaches for their phone instead of lending a hand can take a lap. Shameful.
That's garbage, and we're not talking about the band.
Brady tweets, I'm trashing Mississippi State football coach Joe Moorhead. The guy was supposed to be an offensive guru. This is one of the worst offenses Mississippi State has had in a long time.
So frustrating.
Yeah, I'd say. Oh, God, the Bulldogs' offense is terrible. Absolutely terrible. And, yeah, Moorhead was supposed to change things around. He stuck his foot in his mouth last year, guaranteeing a big season. And this year, they've just been flat-out gross. Nick tweets, I'm trashing the Fairweather Steelers fans. Booing as loud as they did last night to cheering like they had their teams back the whole time is just petty. Hashtag tackle tacos.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
AZ and Wisco is trashing the NFL for forcing the dumpster fire that is the Bengals on London, making them play in the premier setting that is Wembley. Champions League finals, the Olympics, countless FA Cup finals, and the Bengals. Our deepest apologies to Great Britain.
That will contribute to the microplastics in the bottom of the ocean.
Jonathan tweets, trashing all that are involved with the radio show on the weekend they call the pork store. I was listening on Saturday night. I never heard one drop. Need some drops of bacon sizzling, squealing, or a classic bell like you hear at a deli. Need some energy on Saturday night.
Stinky debris.
Well, you know, that's up to the host. The host doesn't have to have drops. Mraz, have you discussed with your crew using drops like sizzling bacon or pig squeals or a deli counter bell?
I have not, although I like those ideas. My general thought was, again, we're only three shows in. Get the show up and running before we worry about drops.
Also,
we want to walk before we run.
And also remember, I've always done this everywhere that I've gone. Started in Fort Myers, Florida, went to Kansas City, went to Miami, went to Boston, came here. I never carried drops over to the new show. Because drops, I've always felt, needed to be specific to that audience and that show. Our drops are all things that happened on this show. Now, we have a huge library because we're now in 7 years here. But you won't hear any drops that I had in Boston. And there were no drops I had in Kansas City. It's got to be fresh because it's got to have happened on the show. That's why when I have like these dummy things, you know, I'm like, those are not real drops. Those are just sound effects. And I'm like, I don't want to play those. But, you know, hey, wacky morning show DJ guy's going to do some crazy stuff with the cannon shot. Oh, bye. Watch out. Here comes a fire truck down the street. It looks like we got some traffic. Uh-oh. News choppers are swirling around the building. Oh, boy.
coming from? Wacky morning show guy. Watch out. Heavy winds coming through the studio. We don't know what's going to happen. Crazy hawk coming through here.
I hate that. The drop should be
make a stop.
The drop should be from the show. So take your time. Also, with all due respect to your crew, I don't know if you would want to trust the guys you've got right now working on the pork store to handle the drops. It's a delicate situation. It's a lot of responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. We trust Pete the Body to do it because he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know if you want to trust some of the hands that you got on the board at 4 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
Look, my crew has done an excellent job through the pork store's early days, but I would tend to agree. I just want to establish this thing. I'm not jumping in and doing the DA show 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. It needs to have its own establishment, and we just need to get the basic fundamentals down. We're kind of like the Astros rebuild, right? They only got to these two World Series in 3 years after tanking. Right now, we're losing 100 games a year, all right? I just need to build this roster up. I'm drafting. I'm trying to do everything I can.
Well,
yo, dude, you got
to
chill.
That's the way to do it. Right now, build fundamentals. Let's not go crazy.
No, all about the right hires.
No flea flickers. No crazy stuff. Run the football. Establish fundamentals. Win the game.
Who wants cheese? You want cheese? Come get your cheese.
I'm looking at getting them to answer a phone. I mean, you know, you guys want drops?
Uh-huh.
Mezzi tweets, I'm trashing your show drops, DA, because now all I hear is tacos. Seahawks great all-time taco, Walter Jones. Khalil Mack had 14 tacos last game. How should I taco this issue? Hashtag Jerry loves tacos.
That will contribute to the microplastics in the bottom of the ocean.
If you don't make tacos, I don't love you no more.
As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
But if you be making tacos, I love you.
Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you making tacos, I love you. Tacos.
All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And two lovely young women who are clearly big baseball fans end up flashing the crowd in support of breast cancer awareness and their very highly regarded magazine, Shag Rag. And suddenly they're banned by Major League Baseball for life?
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Because for the record, he has seen that before.
Yes, he has. You know? Not on TV behind Garrett Cole through a mesh net, but right. Yes, he has seen it. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Okay, so you try
He's
to...
He's seen mine, unfortunately.
So you divert his attention.
I think so,
and
yeah.
And then afterwards you say...
Nothing. There's no conversation after that. Okay. That's the point. What am I going to say?
Uh-huh.
What would we talk about? The validity of like show... I mean, the valid conversation that a man can do and a woman can't is probably too advanced for my six-year-old son.
Right. Okay, just say that's how you ate for 2 years, Eli.
Was it that long? More than a year.
Hey, Junior, it's how you ate.
Remember those days?
Before you had Cheerios, that was it.
Remember that?
Oh. Hey. Remember those days, Junior?
I'll tell you, people are nuts, you know?
This is how Yuzutsi eats.
My dentist, too, another beauty of my dentist. He found a new way to hide his bad breath. He holds up his arms.
Hey, you kiss your mother with that mouth?
I said to him, I said, hey, buddy, who told you could play around my wife? He said, everybody.
What you doing, Junior? Oh.
You still ate like that, I could save $11.50 on the ice cream and hot dog over here.
Oh, what do you know?
I tell my wife I can never relax, you know? I told her our kid is spoiled. She told me a lot of kids smell that way.
Oh.
Pick the tongue up off the floor, put it back in your mouth, Junior. That's how you used to eat.
House of respect.
Lovely ladies over here.
Those broads.
You might as well ask these broads out for an ice cream, Junior. Two lovely dames over here.
Okay. Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Peter tweets, I'm trashing all media sports broadcasters or anyone else who keep saying that the Cleveland Browns fired Belichick after the 95 season, the Browns did not exist, and it was Art Modell and the Baltimore football team who fired Belichick.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Okay, kind of feels like a technicality there. They moved to Baltimore in, what, late January, and 2 weeks later in February, they fired Bill Belichick. It wasn't the Browns technically, it was the Baltimore franchise, maybe even before they were the Ravens, but certainly when they were in Baltimore technically. But I mean, come on, that feels like a real technicality here. Tomorrow morning here on the show, it's our annual Halloween spooktacular episode. We will all be dressed up in our Halloween costumes, and the Gidget of Gadgets, Katie Lindahl, is going to join us, and one of the women banned for life for flashing during the World Series is scheduled to join us as well. So a lot of hard analysis, hard sports analysis. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer, Pete the Body Bilotti and the Wheels of Steel, Andrew Bogish on your headlines, and Andrew Kaplan and WatchDA.com. The Mothership disconnects.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.